We've shed the dead weight. Brian Lake is out. Michael Wall is in. And the band is back together for the first time in 2018. The lads were picking winners for fun last week. They're back this week with all your tips for round eight. We all launch into the pathetic state of the tribunal. And Brownie talks to us about life post-open mic. That and much, much more on the Sportsbet AFL podcast. Welcome back to the new and improved Sportsbet AFL podcast. We can't call it Brownie, Brian and Hummer anymore because Brownie Lakey has just gone missing off
where is he?
I don't know. I genuinely do not know.
So, I'm not asking questions. Just happy to be here, boys.
He's a weird unit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very weird. Well, you said he was weird at the Doggies.
Well, he's always very weird.
But just for some context,
probably hunting for Brian's bargain.
Mm. We have not heard from him. He was coming in every week,
and just a day, 2 weeks.
Now we are a very good replacement, though. Now the man that joins us. You just will recognise him for about everything that Sportsbet's done in the last 12 months.
He's put himself
everywhere.
Local cricket.
Michael Wall.
Yeah, very good to be here, I'd say, boys. Don't mind where Brian is. Just happy to be involved and chatting with you guys. I'll tell you what, this has been a great week at Sportsbet. We've had a lot going on, but the fact that our very own Nathan Brown was on open mic. And there was a buzz in the office on the day. Yeah. There was a buzz afterwards. He was walking very tall before and afterwards.
Swagger.
I've been watching Nathan on Twitter for the last 2 years, and he has copped nothing but abuse. Not one nice thing said.
Correct.
Some reason he goes on open mic, and everyone's getting around him.
It was all positive.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't understand.
On Twitter ever?
I don't feel comfortable with it. It's so much positivity since the open mic. I can't handle it. I don't like it.
Is there a reason? Do you think why? Well, I mean, what happened? Because even we put up posts. Normally, we put up posts with you. I mean, let's not paint you out. All your copy's negative. It's an even mix, but it's been about a 90-10 mix, this way. And I just can't work it out.
Just people realizing how good I was as a player, Hum. It's as simple as that.
There we go.
Now
it's back to a 50-50 mix.
Back to a 50-50 mix. It was, I think, just an honesty. I think in that forum, so it was just a good bit of honesty, and people like to think that. Other people had struggles trying to be professional the way I did as well, like you and Wally would have had young kids trying to break into the ranks.
Down at Oakley Districts in the under-9s, it was,
Wally, do I have this last pot or do I go home and get ready for tomorrow's game? No, I'm going to have this pot. And then he has the same conversation with himself 3 hours later. I've got to have this last pot. No, I've got to go home.
How did you find the process of it? Because is it hard to do? Just sitting there and – because it's pretty serious.
I knocked him back for about a year and a half. He asked me a few times and I thought open mic, and obviously there's been a lot of people on there now, but at the start it was, I guess, ex-champions, Brownlow medalists, blokes have done amazing things in the game, so I felt a bit humbled to be asked. But it was, it's a real look into your life and where you've been and what you've done, and asked me about the kids and my wife and gave her a glowing reference too. Mm, she was pumped.
Good. I bet. Hey, big week. One of the best weekends of footy we've had, I reckon, coming up this week, because there's been a couple of dud weekends. Started off by horrific Friday nights, and they haven't been improving. We've got an absolute cracker. Hawthorn, Sydney, Brownie, you'll be there calling for Triple M. A lot of rain coming down, Michael. I think they're predicting 80 mils or something.
But this happened about a month ago and the rain never came. Superstorm never came. But the Hawks have been really well back. They were $1.90 at the start of the week. Both sides started that. Hawks into $1.83 as we do this podcast. $1.90 for Sydney. Total points was at 150. It's now at 136.
Ooh.
So it'll be low scoring because these two sides aren't high scorers. So Hawthorn's last five games have been 157, 145, 168. 163. Sydney, very similar, 134, 54, 160, 164. So they're low scores already. You add the amount of rain they're predicting, and not only is it rain hard to score, it's windy. It's going to be apparently 35 to 40 knot winds Friday night at the MCG, which makes it super hard to score. Total points less than 140. I like that. Even as it's coming down, and I think it'll probably get shorter than that, I think the total points is going to be low. It's going to be a very low-scoring game, and I do like the Hawks.
Where would you stop? Where do you stop the points? Because it is going to go lower than 130, you'd think.
It's 136 at the moment, I think. Probably, you probably wouldn't go any lower than 125, mid-120s.
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, Brownie, looking at this, this is one of the great matchups of sort of modern football.
Yep.
And Hawthorn's involved in a few of those, and I'll caveat that. I'm a Hawks supporter at home, so I won't lean too much to that side. But for me, in what appears to be a 50-50 match, I'm not surprised that we're seeing a lot of money on Hawthorn. Hawthorn's won the last three, all by a kick. All right, I think two by kicking, one by 5 points. They've won six of the last eight. They match up really well against Sydney, and they're playing the best footy they've played in arguably 3 years. So it's definitely, it's probably the best footy they've played since early 2016 and 2015. Sydney have a couple of key outs. Hanbury's out. Buddy probably's not, I know he's a chance, but likely not to play, although you think he'd do everything to get up to play Hawks at the G. I see Hawthorn winning this one. I think at the price now, it's great because you're getting the price almost of a line for them head to head. And just history tells me that Hawks should be able to get the job done.
Normally I have Luke Bruce every week, first goal scorer, and I'm going to go away from that this week. I just think he's going to get Nick Smith. And Nick Smith is going to play on Luke Bruce and arm across. He's probably not going to get the space he's had in recent weeks. I still think he'll kick goals on Nick Smith, but I reckon just at the start of the game, it is going to be arm across, do everything you possibly can, and I reckon he'll find it hard to kick the first goal this week.
There you go, Brandon. So take a seat from first goal scorer. So you're playing the unders?
I am playing the unders. I've already placed my bet at 140, unders.
Yeah, that's nice.
But the other thing is with Sportsbet, you don't have to have just under 140, which is the line, which is $1.91. You can go to 150 and you might get $1.40. So you can put that into your multis if you want to go for a little bit of a little bit more of a safety net with a high score.
It's all about betting the weatherman, the unders overs, isn't it? Betting our traders. So early. If you get onto it early, have a look at the forecast and you think that you can beat them, then you get some.
I had a meeting with our head of trading, Cam Dean, on Monday. Mm-hmm. And just for an example, the Carlton-Essendon line was 167 on Monday.
Yep.
It's now 156. So that's how much it's moved when he's had a look at the old bomb site.
Greater Western Sydney, West Coast. I think this one is up in Sydney. Not in Canberra, is it?
Yeah, no, no.
You never know with these guys. Greater Western Sydney, $1.60. West Coast, $2.35. I don't know. I think $1.60 is a little bit short for GWS here.
Really short. Really, really short. And even though Nat Newey's not going to play, they're playing good enough footy to win without Nat Newey. They do have Scotty Lysette, who's going to play in this game. It's at Spotless Stadium, which is in Sydney, and they play unbelievably well there. Yeah. But West Coast did beat them there. Not the year, but two seasons ago. Nat Newey kicked the winner on that occasion, mind you. But 235 for West Coast Eagles. I like that. I think they can do some damage up there. Jack Redden's starting to play some pretty good footing. He's racking them up. And I don't think our traders have responded to that because he's $4 to have the 30 or more disposals. So Jack Redden, the line is 10.5. So I'm happy to take the West Coast plus 10, give them a 10-point head start up there.
See, Brownie, for me, this is a real watch until we see what happens to the team. So a lot out last week for GWS. Now, we know that Green, Deledio, they're not making their way back in the team. But
Green, Deledio and Kelly won't play.
Won't play.
When is Kelly back?
Yeah, probably 1 or 2 weeks. Maybe Green will be back then
Green,
too.
You're saying Green won. And we'll wait and see.
Lob and Cameron should be back this week.
And that's the thing. I'll wait for the team to be named here. I don't like the game as a betting proposition at all. As Brownie said, West Coast are playing good footy. They are without Nick Knapp, but at the end of the day, they can go up there. They should be able to take a team that can beat them. But for me, with the prices, I'd like a bigger line because GWS have that ability to come out and just dominate. And if they're on, then they could just end this really, really quickly. I'd like a better line on GWS as well. I don't like the price. I'll be sitting out.
Brownie, you mentioned Nick Knapp not playing. I think this is a good time to bring up the tribunal because we can't be an AFL podcast and not talk about it. This, I know that over the years we've had different, you know, players have had to change the way they bump. They've had to change the way they tackle. The sling tackle, which used to be fine, isn't. This is different to all those because this was, till Tuesday or until whenever he did it, the perfect tackle that you're always taught to do.
100%.
They've set a precedent.
Yeah, so what happens now? If you're going to tackle someone, you need to go. Because if you were to tackle someone fairly, you're in your right to tackle them as hard as you could. As hard as you wanted, as hard as you could. You can't do that anymore. This will change the way that AFL is played.
I thought they got it astronomically wrong. And I've seen people come out like Malcolm Blight and Danny Frawley say they absolutely got the decision 100% right. But I just can't see that because his arms weren't pinned for a start. Carl Amon had an arm out. So what they're saying is that he was too hard in his tackle, too fierce in his tackle. But you'd put that scenario in reverse and Carl Amon's tackling Nat Nui. He can go as hard as he wants, but he doesn't have the power to drive Nat Nui into the ground. Yeah. So it's different. It's a different rule for two players. It's not the same rule because Carl Amon can't do what Nat Nui does. Unfortunately, he is 6'10" and he's 110 kilos and he's stronger. Personally, for me, they got it drastically wrong. Common sense didn't prevail. Michael Christian's had a pretty bad month. And I know he'll get support from the AFL and obviously the head high stuff, but at the end of the day, Carl Amon wasn't that hurt, was he?
No. That's what I don't understand.
I think that, Brownie, what you've said there, he's done everything right and it's due to his size. Does this mean that we will keep making rules to protect players from just getting hurt? Injuries are going to happen. It's a contact sport and this is a complete accident. The injuries happen there. He has done the right thing. Look, Ryan Burton got off somehow. He has chosen to bump and the player has gotten injured. I know he didn't make contact with the head, but Ryan Burton should have got it a week, right? Yep. Because he's chosen to bump and his player's gotten hurt. I still don't agree with that myself. If you choose to bump and you get them in the body and they get hurt so bad, again, but they're the rules. It should have been. Nat Nui's done absolutely nothing wrong but doing his job. And do you know what? This is one of those scenarios. He's in trouble for doing his job too well. Mm. It's absolutely ridiculous.
So are they expecting in the future, would they be asking Nick Nat to slow down before tackling? Oh. Is that what's expected of players
he's
now?
He's meant to go at 75%. It's impossible.
Hard to know what to do.
There's nothing he can do.
And he was fighting a losing battle by taking it to the tribunal because the AFL had their fingerprints all over that to say, nah, this needs to stand up.
Is there a theory between you that work in the media and ex-AFL players that why the AFL are they this shit scared of so many kids playing soccer and stuff and mums seeing this type of stuff and going,
what
I don't
they
want my
are
kid
scared
playing?
Of is massive lawsuits 5-10 years down the track. And I guarantee you these lawsuits are coming. Mm. You see more and more people. The Joel Wilkinson one is different, but is it a lawsuit? But you're seeing more and more people sue the AFL for things that happened years gone by, and concussion's the perfect one. Mm. All these studies they're doing in the NFL at the moment, that's going to open up a can of worms, and the AFL is trying to protect themselves right now from future things. And mark my words, 5 to 10 years, we'll have an influx of these things happening.
Would you ever do it? Would you ever?
Have you worked out what your one's going to be, Brent?
Yeah, broken leg. Just loss of earnings, really. Loss of premierships, loss of Brownlow medals.
Oh, loss of Brownlow medals would be a good one, trying to argue that.
That was a comment that actually came up a few times, is that you were going to win the Brownlow that year.
But the thing is, you were second in the Brownlow and playing out of your skin. So that's a fair comment. Yeah. And what did you say? One of the most influential players in the game?
Well, maybe the most influential player in that 10-week period in the competition.
Who was leading the competition in the Brownlow?
Cuzzy won it.
Was he leading at the time?
Yeah, Cuzzy ended up winning the Brownlow. Only one with 19 votes, so that could have been.
Is that the one where Daniel Kerr was second?
How many did you have that year?
I reckon I had, in the first 10 games, 7 or 8. Ooh. So he won with 19.
I thought he was going to say, I was on 13 votes or something. The way he talks about it.
A long way off.
That's not even a vote of game.
12 votes off.
But the winner won with 19, dickhead.
Yeah, you were 12 votes off that.
Yeah, I know, but
I still had 12 games to go.
Oh, I don't know about that.
There was no doubt that the Batman and Robin combination was very, very strong. We do agree with that.
Speaking of that, are we allowed to reveal this yet?
Can we, Brandon?
Next week on this podcast, we're going to have the Batman part of Robin and Batman. And Robin, Matthew Richardson will be on our podcast the next 2 weeks because that's Brian's missing in action. We don't know where he could be gone. Iraq somewhere.
And even if he comes back, he's replacing him.
He's not.
But
he's
my main man who kicked 800 goals and the most goals ever at the MCG.
That's so much.
Thanks to my left foot, most of them. But he will be on here next week. And we've got some good stories from lived in New York for 2 months together.
Speaking about blokes that could have won a Brownlow, in 08 he was stiff.
He was. Jimmy Bartel.
Is that year he played on the wing?
Coons.
Yeah, Coons won it.
Is that the year Richo played on the wing?
Yeah. And just dominated. And he was playing on the wing, taking 12, kicking 4. He was amazing. Yeah.
Carlton, Essendon, Saturday afternoon a few years ago, this was an absolute cracker. This year it's horrific. I'm not going to touch on it too much because it's too... Pretty ordinary sides. One very, very ordinary side. And one
it's going to be wet again.
A little bit.
Look, Carlton were pretty good against Adelaide last week. I know they lost by 55 points, but that second quarter was something to work about. Don't have the teams yet, so I don't know whether Charlie Curnow is going to be playing. Yep. But the 8.5 line that Carlton have got, I like. I think Essendon are under extraordinary pressure. If it is wet and it is, a bit inclement, in clement weather. Cripps 30 plus, $2.25 for Paddy Cripps in those sort
little
of conditions.
Little bulldozer will get it done.
Yeah, $2.25 for Paddy Cripps 30 plus.
There you go. I'm with you, Brownie. I love the line on this. I think Carlton can win. This has got the Essendon dropping game written all over it, this sort of thing. Carlton, I know they're not going that well, but they're a proud club. And they're going to win a game. And this is set up for them to do it. And if it's wet conditions, that is perfect because they can just turn it into an absolute fight. And I don't know, watching Essendon the last couple of weeks, if they want the fight. And I don't know if they're as hungry. And I think Carlton will be hungrier. And at 3.25 and an 8.5 point line, that's where I'd be playing.
I like that. I might have a tickle at that line for Carlton. Gold Coast, Melbourne as well. Saturday afternoon, $3.50 for the Gold Coast, Melbourne, $1.31.
Can I stay out of this game as well?
Yeah.
I can't bet in this game because I think that Gold Coast are a chance, but then I don't know how good Melbourne are going. Melbourne have, pretty much apart from maybe one game where they were poor against Hawthorn, have done everything you'd probably ask from. They're 4-2. They beat St Kilda well last week. They're $1.31 away from home. Every game they've won so far, those four games, they've scored over 100 points. The line's 172. Gold Coast have been low scoring. Does it go under that? I'm going to stay out of the game.
Wow. So you think Gold Coast can take it to the D's?
Yeah, I think they can. Up there, definitely they can. Remember, it was only 5 weeks ago that Brisbane were in front of Melbourne.
True.
15 minutes in the last quarter. Then Melbourne kicked five goals after that.
Michael?
Yeah, I'm the same. It's hard to have them. I think Gold Coast are going better than a lot of people thought they would. Melbourne are unpredictable. If Melbourne bring their A game, they will smash them, but you just don't know.
Hey, strange time for the showdown. 5:10 on a Saturday afternoon. Not even afternoon. It's like, what's that?
Brownie, you're probably best placed to explain this to me. Because of this whole experiment over in China and Koshy and his infinite wisdom sending us over there as a league. We have got Gold Coast and Port Adelaide getting that extra day's rest, and that's all fine, right? But what we have here is that for some reason they've put an extra game on the Saturday. Yeah. Why don't you just move one of them to a Sunday and have it as a normal fixture? What's an extra hour or two? You can't tell me that's going to make all the difference. Yeah. I don't know who's worried about that. But play one at the 2:10 game, play one at the 4:40 game, or the 1:45 and the 2:10, whatever it is, right? Then play three games on the Sunday. We missed Twilight footy because of this.
Yeah, on Mother's Day as well. It's a great Mother's Day.
Is there that to do with it as well?
I thought Greater Western Sydney, West Coast could be played on a Sunday up at Spotless because the two games in Melbourne are at Etihad, so you can't really have another Melbourne team playing. So yep. I don't understand it. It's nice to have that 4:40 game on the Sunday, which we don't have this week.
Fremantle, St Kilda, yeah. Would have been.
Well, there's some strange fixturing. Carlton getting four Friday night games is one of them. Port Adelaide, $2.45. Adelaide, $1.50.
Adelaide head-to-head. Yeah. I'm just going to go Adelaide. Playing head-to-head, $1.56. 56% on your money. They've won the last five. Port Adelaide, I think, are going pretty well, up and down. But Adelaide at home in the showdown.
Yeah, very good. Hard to argue there.
You're just agreeing with everything Brownie's saying.
Well, no, that's not the case at all, Richard. I think you're fine. But do you want me to have a differing opinion just for the sake of it?
We're trying to make money
when
here.
Brownie's
hang
not
on,
betting.
So hang on. So let me ask you a question, Richard. Is that what? I'm new to the podcast. I'm obviously on the racing stuff where we speak truth. Do you guys just try and create scenarios for a bit of argy bargy? Do you?
Or no,
do you
not at all. But
tell the truth. Zone out when Brian speaks.
There you go. I'll tell you what I would be doing. No, Port Adelaide. They're playing good footy at the moment. And the one thing I did like was Ollie Wines to have 30 plus at $2.63. I think he's doing that. Because even if they don't perform that well, you know he's going to turn up and play well in a showdown. So that I don't mind. But if you want the truth, Richard, I won't be playing too heavily in this game and I won't even be taking out
the Dolphins. Hey, with the Ollie Wines, I commend you on that because it's the first time you've bought something that Brownie hasn't.
Oh, go fuck yourself.
Still, Bulldogs Brisbane, that's no good, is it?
No, it's a game that I'm going to have to sit out as well. It's one of those games. There's sides in this competition you can't trust at the moment. One of those is Brisbane because you don't know what you're going to get from week to week. But more importantly, it's Bulldogs that I don't trust because they were great last week against Gold Coast and Ballarat. They got the job done, but I just they're $1.38. It's way too short for me. I mean, if the Dogs were 170, yeah, I'd probably have a crack at it. But 138's way too short. They do play Etihad well. I'll give them that.
I'm the opposite. Why are you laughing, Richard? Just because
I just know you're going to repeat exactly.
No, I'm not actually. I'm a little bit different. Brisbane have shown a little bit.
Yeah,
Western Bulldogs have taken a home game down to Ballarat. They've won the game. They were tested late by Gold Coast. They put the pedal down. They actually got through and did well. They will recognise this as an opportunity to come out and get a win and a good win and string a couple together. I'm confident in Western Bulldogs. 7.5 line, three goals. I'm fine with that.
Confident.
Yeah. I'll be taking them at the line at the $1.92. I don't mind the $1.38 as a builder as well. I do not. Brisbane are playing well without winning. That game against Collingwood, that I don't think that gives confidence. That would have hurt.
It's such a strange
0-7 side.
They are
correct in the history of the game.
Yeah, they are, Brandy, but I just through.
They lost to Collingwood by 7. They pushed GWS up there. They lost to Gold Coast by 5. Richmond at the MCG, that's a wipeout. We can forget that one. Give them a bad game. 5 points to Port Adelaide in Adelaide.
Yep.
They were in front of Melbourne in the last quarter, got done by 4 goals. And St Kilda, they got beaten by in round 1.
Incredible season. So they're not going as bad as what you think. Okay, Brownie, what's on your mind? Because I know you like to use this platform.
The rant.
Your rant, your vent. What's bugging you this week?
India.
Wait. You be a bit more specific?
Cricket. Cricket's one of our great loves along with football, right? And the news came out. This is having a crack at India and the Australian Cricket Board. The fact that I reckon one of the centrepiece, apart from the Boxing Day test, is the Adelaide Day-Night test with the pink ball. I reckon it's just invigorated cricket. It's brought a whole new, I guess, supporter base to the cricket. It's good for the families. It's exciting. It's always a result because there's always something going on with the pink ball. It's a bit different. Now, India have cracked the sads, and they are the biggest cricket nation, as we know, the BCCI, the Board of Control for Cricket in India. They seem to control most of the cricket in the world. Yep. I've said we don't want to play the day-night test, which is ridiculous. If you're an Australian cricket board under siege at the moment, we need positive news. You stand up to India and you go, no. And we are going to play this day-night test in Adelaide because we are the Australian cricket board and that's what we're going to do. Mm. If you want to come out here and play us, we're going to play a day-night test. Yeah. And that's the end of it. And I just think India would go, well, we had a crack at it. Let's go and play them anyway. Yeah.
Bang. Well, you've taken aim at an entire country of about 1 billion people. But I love their food.
Don't you worry. I have Indian food once a week. And vindaloo is my favourite.
It is very
butter
good.
Chicken is really good. A lot of fat and butter chicken.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think there's too many. They don't serve a lot of butter chicken in India. I think that's a bit of a Western version of
Are you a naan man? See, that's my favourite part of Indian is the naan.
To mop up the
mopping up the sauce and the naan.
How good is it?
Yeah. I went to India once and we were going through this checkpoint and they were selling cobs of corn on the side of the road with spices and stuff on it. And everyone said, don't eat the street food on the side of the road because you get the runs and all that sort of stuff. But this corn looked amazing. It was one of the best things I've ever eaten.
Really?
Yeah, it didn't get the runs or anything like that. But it was a ripper.
You made it sound like it was a negative. Oh, unfortunately, I didn't get the runs.
You two are doing something pretty exciting this Friday. You've done it the last couple of weeks. I understand you're joining
Wheelie Early Payout.
Oh, yeah, the Wheelie Early Payout.
Now, you went off script last week. You did it twice.
Spend the wheel twice. Told a joke. Did you get the joke last night about last week about the penguin? So penguin walks into a bar, right?
Yep.
He says to the barman, looking for my brother, have you seen him? And the barman looks at him and goes, what's he look like? Penguins all look the same. What do you look like?
What do you mean? I don't know if they do.
You don't get it.
I get it.
Couldn't you just apply that to any animal?
Yeah. It's a ridiculous joke.
It's a shocking
zebra,
joke.
Zebra.
Yeah, no,
giraffe.
No. Yeah, but a dog.
Tiger.
Two dogs.
Yeah, but
different.
Wild animals.
Yeah, but there's different breeds of penguins.
Yeah, but penguins are more likely to be in a bar than a tiger.
Well, hang on. No, they're not because you got fairy penguin, you got emperor penguin, king penguin.
Oh,
this is not a good joke.
Mr. Penguin expert. I didn't know you.
Hey, they say the best jokes are the ones you need to explain afterwards, Brandy.
Yeah, no, Steve Irwin was back on the job.
Brandy.
Don't say that. Can you tell us what's this wheel? Can you explain it to those that might not know what the wheel is?
So what we do is 18 teams go on the board, we spin the wheel, and whatever it lands on, we pay out on that side. So Hawthorn, Sydney this week, Friday 4 p.m, we spin it, comes up on Hawthorn. Those bets will be paid out even if they lose. So, happened last week, we went to Adelaide. $1.05. We thought, let's spin it again. $1.05 is not too much value. We paid out on Gold Coast after that because the spin went on Gold Coast. All Gold Coast punters were paid out.
Yeah, so even though they lost last week, still got paid out. How good is that? Freo St Kilda Saturday night. This one, where's this one being played?
In Perth. At Optus Stadium. $1.26 Freo. The line is 24.5 at the moment, I think. I think Fremantle are very good at home. They were terrible last week, but they were within four goals of Richmond at three-quarter time. And then Richmond, as rightly pointed out on the podcast last week, Mick said, I'm going to take a bet on Richmond to smash the line in the last quarter because they've been smashing last quarter. Yeah. So, but Fremantle line I like. Now, Ed Langdon, 650 for 30 or more disposals. I think that's value. Does he get it? Not sure. But the three games he's played at Optus Stadium this year, he's had 26, 26, 27. So he's a home ground expert. You get him away from Fremantle and he can't get near it, Ed. But at home, 650, I reckon if he can get those extra three disposals this week, it's pretty good money.
Yeah, I mean, Brownie, I'm playing in that space as well with the disposals, but I'm going a different way. I've actually carved out a bit of a same game multi. Okay, so two blokes that are just getting disposals for fun, Fife and Neil, $1.62 and $1.36 respectively for 30 or more. So I'm taking both of them. And then what I'm actually going to do, St Kilda have been diabolical. Freo, again, like I was speaking with Western Bulldogs, Fremantle will see this as an opportunity to get a win, to get one under their belt. And I'm going to take them at the line, which is 25.5. And you'd think if though they're going to win and they're going to win well, they're going to need their big player, their best players to step up. And that's going to give you $4 even on a same game multi. And I'm really comfortable with that.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't mind a little same game multi. You've never come with a same game multi. That used to be Brian's special. He would have one. He'd go and prepare one for every single match.
How was his hit rate?
On Brian.
Maybe he won a heap on them. Maybe he won a heap on and he's gone to Mexico.
I'd just love to know where he possibly could be.
It is actually hilarious. We don't
anywhere in the world.
People think we're joking, too. We don't know.
The worst part is we paid him up front for the whole year.
He lives in Taylor's Lakes or something. It's a long way.
Caroline Springs.
Where is Caroline Springs?
Which one is it? He plays for the Lakers.
Caroline Springs.
Caroline Springs Lakers, isn't
he? He's got his own golf buggy at there.
Yeah, with the Go Lakers on it. Yeah.
But where is Caroline Springs in Melbourne?
I think I want to say north.
On the way to Melbourne?
Ooh. Yeah. Past
the old,
mate, you know what?
Let's not offend our punters out there.
No, but it would be nice because you'd have those big estates with a golf course in the middle of it.
That's nice,
mate. You like that, hum? Get up in the morning.
Not a lot of trees out there, though.
Work from home.
It's very flat and brand new.
It's real brand new out there.
Give it time.
Trees take a while to grow. Those suburbs didn't exist 5 years ago, Brandy. We get to our Sunday games, and as we said, we've only got two.
I see value in the Kangaroos. I'm going to say it right now. Oh, I see value in the Kangaroos. $4, $1.25. I'm not saying go off and put all your money on North Melbourne at $4.
Nope.
But 26.5 is the line. They've been playing really well. I wanted to back them last week against Sydney. I didn't. So 26.5, Basher Hooley, $7 to get 30 disposals because I think Dustin Martin will get tagged or Trent Cotchin will get tagged. So Basher Hooley, $7. But I'm confident that North Melbourne get very close to him.
Okay, so there's a couple of ways I'm going here. On the back of what Brownie was talking about with Richmond going late, North Melbourne are up and about. They do trouble Richmond. We know that.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, I think I know where you're hitting here.
Yeah, I'm happy to take. And there's two ways of playing this. One is North halftime, Richmond full-time. Yep. You can do that. That's fine. But I like North to lead at quarter time into Richmond to beat the line. That's 10.5 again that last quarter. So North get the jump, Richmond go. And what they do now is they suffocate teams, and then bang, they just put on goals. Now, if you took North to lead at quarter time, which could be by a point, you know, they just get in front, and then Richmond to win that last quarter and kick a couple more goals than them. So that's not even the match. That's just that. It's $5.50 in your same game multi. Or the other option is Richmond, I don't think, is going to put them away early. North are going to come out. Give North a 6.5-point head start in the first quarter. So they're within a goal at quarter time, but then Richmond blow them away in the last quarter. That's 3.75. They're the two spaces I'm playing in on Sunday, and I'm really, really confident, especially on that second one. I think North will be close quarter time. Or even Brownie could do North, Richmond.
This is one of the games where I like to do that. Now, I don't often bet in this space, but it's worth it because you get big odds. So North to lead at quarter time, half time, three quarter time, Richmond to win, paying $20.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
You put a five on that, you get 100 back. But the other one is North Melbourne to lead at any change, but Richmond win is $4.50. Yep. Now,
that I like.
They're $4 to win the game, North Melbourne. To lead at any change, Richmond win $4.50. Yeah, it's not bad.
And I think that the people are talking about North Melbourne and how well they've gone against the Tigers. This is a completely different Richmond team than we have seen for years. This team, when they played North Melbourne last year, and they only played once last year, they beat them comfortably middle of the year. Round 11, they won by 35 points. They are a far better team in the second half, and they're a far better team now. I think North are playing good footy, but I can see them staying with them to a point. But I don't know how they get over them in the end, because the way the Tigers are going, they are head and shoulders above the rest of the competition.
But they have had everything on their terms. They've played six games at the MCG. They've travelled once to Adelaide. Haven't played at Etihad Stadium yet this year. So it is a change.
I know, yeah.
And that's the other reason why I don't mind North Melbourne. I'm not saying they will win, but I'm saying they'll get close.
Hey, what about Dusty Martin the last few weeks? Been off.
Yeah, but has he been off, or has he just not been to the heights that we've expected him?
Yeah.
Has he still been in the top 10 players, Brownie?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, top 10.
He missed a lot of goals last week. If you had a kick there, you're saying, well...
That's exactly right.
If you've got him in your Supercoach last few weeks, you're furious, especially if you've had him skipper.
I reckon he's got the points in the bank for you, though.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, I've had Kelly as my captain from GWS still, because I keep saying he's 1 week away. I should have traded him.
Why would you have him as your captain? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, Rich.
I probably should. Well, I keep thinking he's going to play. And I forgot my password. Right, I don't know how to change it.
This is
he had 26 disposals last week and kicked 4 points.
So that could have been 26 and 4.
It's not a bad day.
26 and 4, it's three votes, isn't it?
His 26 is better than someone else's 45.
Can we address this Robert Walls thing? Fremantle lose by 70-something points, and they have three votes, two votes Sanderlands, one vote Neil. I understand if five's the best player on the ground. And he goes, the next 10 would be Richmond. That's all fine. Find three, give five, and then find two other Richmond ones. Yeah. Don't say they're that even. Because Sanderlands, he should be hitting to advantage with his size. And Nankervis wasn't in the ruck the whole day, was he?
I reckon Woolsey had the old Spring Valley out before the game and just didn't quite see it that well.
Oh, really? Good little hey, speaking of, while we're throwing accusations of media personnel, are you still refusing to name the who was responsible for the little whisper that came into the Herald Sun and who it was about?
Oh,
because we've pushed him on the podcast before and he won't say.
The whisper, just to remind listeners, Hummer,
that someone that hosts a show either on radio or television, it didn't say, would be messaging other on-air talent during a broadcast, correcting how they should announce some names.
And was Nathan one of the people that was being...
It didn't say that.
Okay,
it didn't.
But Nathan, rumour going around that I was the one that leaked it to the Whisper, which I wasn't.
Now, so clearly involved, who did? Just not the leakers.
I know who leaked it, but...
Ooh, who was it?
I'm not sure the person... Who it's about knows it's about them either.
Oh, you can't be that.
Because then that person came up to me last week.
Don't say exactly what they said because then they'll know.
Right as rain, hand on the shoulder, how are you? Good mate, everything, no problems. And I'm not going to tell you because it's a deep, dark secret and I can get in trouble, which I don't want. It just makes it awkward for me.
Can I tell you though, if you happen to be listening and you are maybe correcting people on names, at the end of the day, a great man that used to work with us, Hump, he used to say, if you know what I mean, then don't correct me. And I think that's the point, is that you're there for your football expertise, not to be telling people to be grammatically perfect, right? And at the end of the day, how you pronounce someone's name is a regional thing anyway, and it may or may not be right. They don't necessarily know unless you've been and interviewed all 700-plus AFL players and asked them about their family trees. So maybe you just got to pull back and go, fuck, it's not that important.
Did you follow the stuff about Brian Taylor cracking the shits last week?
Is there any truth to that?
Refused to talk to Damien Barrett for the last 45 minutes. Now, in radio, sometimes we beat it up and like we're all matey-matey because you can't see us like in the radio box and you're sort of almost trying to ham it up, and it does sound good on radio. But this week, BT genuinely cracked it, wouldn't speak to Damien Barrett, then gave it to the Big Nose producer. There was something that went to air. It was the goggle box thing that went to air on the footy show. It was about BT. And a few of the players bagged BT. BT took offence to that, like genuinely took offence and had a crack at the Big Nose producer.
Because he produces the footy show and the rub.
And Triple M.
Very, very keen to hand it out, BT. Doesn't like it too much when it comes back the other way.
What was Damien Barrett getting into him?
About the Jason Bennett thing, the fact that him and Jason Bennett had a falling out and that he'd been timing how long Jason Bennett called for on the Channel 7 broadcast.
So is that all true?
That is 100% true.
Wowee.
And I'll tell you what, it was good from them to come up with that as well, because that took away from the fact that they chartered a chopper to Geelong instead of getting on the
highway. Who came up with that idea?
But you've got to protect your space. BT's just protecting his patch of dirt.
Gets really precious, BT, about his on-air time.
He's the main man, apart from Bruce.
So does that happen within the industry?
No, I think BT cops a hell of a lot of criticism, but I just think so many people love what BT does that maybe they don't come out and on Twitter and say how much they love it. Maybe he's just reading the negative stuff. But he's calling as good as what he's ever called BT at the moment. Gets a few names wrong, but who cares? He's entertaining. He's the most entertaining caller on radio.
Couldn't agree more. But listening to BT commentate is phenomenal. The other stuff he does, I find a bit much. The Romy Bryan crap. I don't like him on. He just comes across as a bit.
But he's been doing this since 2005. Like, I was watching some of my own highlights the other day, which was on AFL.com. The top five Nathan Brown moments, and BT called the last quarter. I kicked five on James Clement, and his calling was brilliant that day as well. Made me even stares on the back.
Speaking
of
that video,
up.
When you first started, how's this, Michael? When a couple of weeks into Brownie first started, he got his phone out to show me something. We opened up on YouTube, and he opened up YouTube, and the video that was had already been loaded up was that video of you kicking five goals in. So how do you just when you're feeling down or something, just pull out your phone and start watching that video?
It's a good thing to watch when you're feeling down, I must admit. Poor old Jimmy Clement. Doesn't take it too well. Doesn't get the same sort of humour that I get out of it.
No, Jimmy wouldn't.
No, it comes up a lot too. Someone even after the open mic made a comment on one of the Twitter posts about when he goes, my favourite moment was when Brownie kicked a bag on Clement. It's like, it's people everywhere are trolling this poor boy. And he's salty on it as well. Brownie's told us that before. Yeah. He does not
like
it.
Radio interview.
Really?
I brought it up. I think when I was still at Triple M the first time, interviewing him on the Dead Set Legends maybe, and I brought it up and said, yeah, well, about time you moved on, eh?
Wow.
And just dead flat like that.
It's
like
a bit of a mismatch.
I bet you take the fucking lemon out of your mouth, mate, and stop sucking on it.
It was a bit of a mismatch, wasn't it? How big was Clement? He was
mismatch.
Was he?
He was your best halfback flanker in the comp.
I thought he played more
of a 6'2", 6'3". He could play on tools and smalls.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mismatch advantage to you. Yeah, I mean, he probably had 3 or 4 inches on you.
Yeah. Mm. He wasn't the only game I had three votes on.
How many you kicked that game?
Five
and then one quarter.
Yeah. I kicked 4 points up until then.
Oh, so he's having a stinker and he's paged into form.
Hey, Collingwood Geelong. Have we touched on that yet?
No, we haven't.
Last game of the year.
This is interesting. Last game of the year. It was quick.
Collingwood, 237. How do they come back from the heat? It was very hot up there.
Yep.
Geelong, can't trust them at the moment. Collingwood at the line, maybe 10.5, I think it is at the moment. Not overly keen to play in this game. Brody Grundy, I think, can get 30 possessions again. He's $10 to get 30 possessions. He's done it this year and been close two other times. Or to 25 possessions, he's $2.88. But Geelong's ruck stocks at the moment are terrible. So Brody Grundy to put one away.
Yeah, very nice. I love that this game is the last game of the weekend, so I'm going to make a decision closer to just on how the rest of my weekend's going. And I'm just going to have a speculative go here at Collingwood to either win. And what I might do is I might do the Collingwood to win and a really small bet on Collingwood 40+, because they historically have put Geelong away. Far better Geelong teams than this. The Collingwood teams weren't as good as they are. They're playing really well. I love watching the Cats get smashed,
absolutely.
And I'm enjoying watching the way Collingwood's going about it. I'm a massive fan of Steel Sidebottom. I love the way DeGoey's going about it. Stevenson's a revelation. So on 3:20 Sunday, you have your Mother's Day lunch. You can sit back, relax. So I'll be going Collingwood, and then a little bit on that blowout as well. And the amount I have on will depend how the rest of the weekend goes.
Don't mind that at all.
Yeah.
Hey, what plans Mother's Day? What are you doing?
Have I got a story to tell?
Hang on.
We're doing a story, weren't we?
Yeah
but you don't need to. We
haven't got the story time yet.
I was just going to ask
about Mother's Day.
Yeah, the Sunday footy show, and then we'll do a Mother's Day thing afternoon type stuff.
Do you go and get presents because you've got four kids?
I've already bought it. And you've ever been to Kogan.com, K KOG.
Yeah, which you get all the TVs and crap.
Yeah, they've got this coffee machine at the moment. It's an Nespresso one, but it's made by KitchenAid. You know, KitchenAid's really good.
Yeah.
Really good one. It was $2.59 or something. Outrageous.
But what does it do? Does it still use the
pods?
Does it still use the pods?
Yeah, it still uses
the
pods.
So what's the difference between it?
You get a packet of 100 pods with it.
Oh, wow.
That's not bad.
Yeah. KitchenAid, because
that's $100
But it's one of those nice cream chromed ones.
Yeah, well, that's our toaster. We got the DeLonghi double with the cream.
KitchenAid's the best appliances.
Don't be name dropping about kitchen appliances.
I don't know DeLonghi's name dropping.
What are you doing? Because well, this is your lovely wife's
first Mother's Day. So we will be going. I'll breakfast in bed, do the right thing. I've lined her up a cool present. I'm not going to say because.
Are you going to write a card and pretend it's from your kid?
Oh, I know. I think you have to, don't you? It's not, she's not.
Yeah, well, your kid's not going to ride, is he?
No, he's not. He's 3 months old. Yeah, so, but I'm not going to do
I've
it.
Never understood that.
Oh, hang on. No. I'm not going to do it in like, pretend writing. I would write a card from us. And then we're going to go up, we're going to go up in the mountains. We've got a nice lunch booked and some vinos now up in the Dandenongs. And then we'll come back.
Piggery?
How'd you guess, Brownie? How good is it?
Oh, unbelievable.
It is the greatest.
You've been to the Piggery in the mountains?
Shannon Bennett's place.
They've got a big bowling green there. The kids can just run around. Yeah.
Grab a bottle of vino, go sit under a tree, all of that.
Massive, like, acreage. And then your electric fence the whole way around. So if the kids go too fast, just like, zip them. Get back over here.
So we'll do that. And then, just back home, make dinner, and then off to the Magoos, obviously, Hum. So, very excited. What about you, Hum? You did the ultimate Mother's Day gift. I was very impressed by you last week.
I dragged my mum, who walks with a cane, through a rock concert at the Killers. I tell you what, that is dragging a 6-year-old through a rock concert is not the greatest Mother's Day present you
can
get.
But apparently she enjoyed it.
Absolutely loved it. It's her favourite band, the Killers. Hey,
my wife's dad is a Croatian fella, and can he cook? A lot of people don't like going to the in-laws.
What is Croatian food?
A lot of meats and
all that.
Look at you.
One of my good mates, Croatian.
A lot of people don't like going to the in-laws, but I love it because he's such a brilliant cook and gives us little takeaway things to put in the fridge.
That is the best.
He's a ripper.
What, just meat?
Lots of meat.
Jeez, I think I'd like Croatian.
Meat and carbs, mate.
Yeah.
You got tempers.
You got a story for us?
I do. And it revolves around, and I was just thinking about it then. Collingwood, Mick Malthouse, and the fact that he loved James Clement, one of his favourite players of all time. And it reminded me, I didn't think I'd finished in AFL world. So I was half thinking, should I go on? Because Richmond had already said, look, it's probably not a contract, but I reckon there's other clubs because we'd finished down near the bottom. Damien Harbig had come in. They'd cleaned out Bowden, a lot of senior players. So I said, look, you can either retire or we're probably going to. And I said, all right, well, I may as well retire and start. Talked to a couple of clubs. I just had an operation on my groin. And so I'd started training again. Went over to New York, living in New York in an apartment for a month with Richo. And we're training over there together. And we'd had a fair few beers this day. So we got home. It was about 4 a.m.
Had you had Darwa this day? How'd you get a month away from the family?
I met Christina after I finished.
Oh.
Yeah. I met her during my last year, but then we didn't get together again until probably, I reckon, December that year. Mm. But anyway, 4 a.m. and Richo's, and we'll ask him this week, but we're talking about the fact that I spoke to Mick Malthouse at a function at the end of the year, and he goes, mate, I love the way you played. He goes, I've never seen anyone beat Jimmy Clement like that. And I agreed with him, clearly. So, and we're looking at where's an opportunity for me to play next year to win a premiership. So I only wanted to go to a club that was up the top, which Collingwood were at that stage. The Bulldogs were. I'd already left them, so they weren't going to take me. St Kilda, I'd spoken to them. Ross Lyon said to me, they were up the top as well. Ross Lyon had said, we are going to go for what's his name? Andrew Lovett, which didn't really work out that well for Ross Lyon.
Did not at all.
No. So I thought, well, the only other option there is Collingwood, who are up the top end of the ladder at the moment. This is the end of 2009.
So Hawthorn didn't, we came back up, but we're out of flag if you went to the Hawks.
So 4 a.m, and the period was coming up to get the job done, and it was a cut-off period where you had to put in for whatever you wanted to
put
in.
Were you in good nick still?
I'd had a fair few, and I had a chicken kebab with me, and we had Richo standing next to me. He goes, you got to ring him, and he's laughing his head off. So anyway, I've got Mick Malthouse's number about 4 a.m. in New York time, which is Australian time's normal time.
Yep.
I rang Mick. I said, Mick, it's Nathan Brown here, mate. Not the one that plays for you, but the other one that used to kick 5 on Jimmy Clement. That was my opening thing. I said, as you know, I've retired, but I reckon I've still got a fair bit of footy left in me. He goes, I said, I'd love to come to Collingwood. I said, I nearly come to Collingwood many years ago when I went to Richmond, but I reckon I could help you win a flag. And he goes, Brownie, I reckon you could too. And at this stage, I thought, yeah, how good is this? He goes, but we're not in the market for a player like you at the moment.
Oh.
He goes, we've got Didac. We've got a couple of others. He goes, I reckon, good luck to you, but it's not going to happen.
Oh. I said, good on him for being up front.
Oh, yeah, very good.
I applaud that.
And it made sense.
Would you have gone, if another club it wasn't a chance of a premiership had come knocking, would you have gone?
No.
What did you do when you first retired, first year out? Stuff all, or did you go straight into the media?
Media
struggle? Triple M.
Yeah.
Triple M.
Had you done media during your AFL career?
Yeah. Did the Thursday night footy show from 2000 onwards.
Yep. So oh, that's years. Right.
Hmm.
Hey. Yeah. Forget but Brownie was a regular on the Thursday night footy show, but at least he was honest, Brownie, and didn't string you along, and he probably put two and two together that you were off your face at 4 a.m. in New York. He's not.
And yeah, I tell you, and it doesn't take Brownie much till the word starts slurring.
Either. Here he goes.
Well, it doesn't. Remember
no,
the,
no,
remember
well, that, I can't. I'm the same, Brownie. Yeah. We both. Brownie and I.
You're half a beer.
Yeah, but then just continue. But yeah, I start to lose it early.
This has been the longest podcast ever.
Yeah, it is. Well, we've got to edit a few of
Richo
your.
Richo next week.
Yeah, Richo Huge. Next week. So thank you for joining us, Michael. Thank you for stepping in. We might
what
have
you
to
edit.
One of us. Well, because you added some swear words in there. We're not allowed to swear anymore. I should have told you at the start of the podcast.
I didn't swear. He swore.
I swore a couple of
times.
Yeah,
you both swore. That's all right. We've got a beeping button. Thank you for joining us, of course.
What else are we going to edit out?
We might have to leave that one out. Who knows? We might have to edit this whole bit out. Good luck. It is going to be a wet, wet weekend. Michael, actually, before we go, have you got a tip for the races? You're, of course, the host of the very popular Three Wide No Cover. Where should the punters put their cash this weekend?
So this weekend, the boys are really keen on a couple in Melbourne. One is Kenjorwood, race 3, number 5, Kenjorwood, and the other one is race 8, number 2, Furion. Mm. Very keen on both. And if you're playing up in the Doomben 10,000, the top two picks of Red Zelen In Her Time, it's a race in two. They've said nothing outside of those two. So that's where I'd be playing.
Boom. Chuck those into your AFL multis. As always, please like, subscribe, rate, review, whatever it is you're doing. But most importantly, gamble responsibly.